This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose.
Taco, 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 taco.
This deal legit.
Taco, taco, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Bryce Harper, the leader of this team.
I don't think he's the leader of this team.
Oh, you're right. Well, Kyle Schwarber.
You know what? I don't want to hear that.
More the
I don't want to hear that.
At this point.
Bryce Harper has to be the leader of this team. Like, I don't care about that anymore. Like, you are the most famous player on the team. You are the best player on the team. You're the guy who's going to be in Cooperstown someday. Like, enough of Rhea, I get your point. I'm not ripping you with this. Like, I agree with what you're saying.
I felt like it was an attack.
Think that totally not, man. I'm sorry. Bryce does, like, you're right, because he does not stand up that way. But, like, enough of that. Like, stand the hell up.
Fired Up Seltzer is my favorite seltzer. I was half ready for him to curse like he did at Josh Harris.
The buildup felt exactly like it.
Best tweet of the night.
Right? Say it, James.
Elliot said Josh Harris should buy up all the freaking tickets and give them to Sixers fans. Like, you're damn right he should. The freaking, what, $7 billion this guy's worth? Yeah, dude. Like, own your... Oh, my goodness. Own your franchise, okay?
Yeah.
The oh my goodness right after, and the apology to Rhea there this morning very quickly is my favorite seltzer, but he's right. And I understand why he was frustrated with Bryce Harper right now. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop board. Where are you at on Bryce Harper? Frustrated, concerned, or you're not worried at this point through the first month of the season, month plus, he hasn't played well. I mean, we don't have to beat around the bush. We don't have to pretend. We don't even have to say he's even been decent. He's been, by his standard, not good, right? Mm-hmm. Bryce Harper has a standard where he's one of the best hitters in baseball. His OPS is around 900 every year. He has a 280 to 300 average. He's nowhere close to this. I mean, he's in the 230s right now. His OPS is in the 700s. Just to give you context on that, Aaron Judge, who's the best hitter in baseball right now, has an OPS in 1200. I mean, Bryce Harper's not even in the same zip code as the best hitter in baseball right now. And that's all right. I don't need him to be the best, but I need him to be one of the very best. He hasn't. And I understand why he was frustrated. I'm not worried yet. I think he's going to pick it up. Where do you guys come down? 215-592-9494. Kyle's concerned and frustrated. This report a couple nights ago, Hugh, I'm curious your take on this, because this came across a little concerning. You know, Bryce is a guy that seems to always be in a good place with his swing or kind of have his routine down. He doesn't change much. But listen to this. Taron Hatcher, NBC Sports Philadelphia, a couple nights ago during the game, talking about Bryce kind of taking advice from anyone who will give it to him on his swing right now.
There was a lot of work done yesterday and coming into today to try to fix certain things with Bryce's spring, namely his timing. I was talking to Kevin Long ahead of today's game. He said, look, yesterday he had an exit velo of 98, 102, and 105 on three balls that were fielded out last night. He got his hit on a bunt, which is a good sign for things to come because his timing's not there. Everything's too quick. When he's moving too quick, when his motions are too quick, he's not seeing the ball as well. He's expanding his strike zone. He's very communicative with the hitting staff about what he's feeling and seeing in his swing. So they actually went through a circuit today where all of the hitting staff got to pick a drill and Bryce got to pick a drill, and they went through each drill. Each one was focused on timing. It was a different drill meant to slow Bryce down.
So where are you, Hugh? What's your reaction to that? The fact that every person on the hitting staff, and they have quite a few hitting coaches and gurus and people, got to pick a drill and Bryce went through it. It tells me he's not right. Like, he doesn't feel his swing right now, so he's looking for anyone to help him.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, but still, you have to, and that's probably why he's a little bit more reserved and kind of, you know, he's kind of, you know, into himself right now. But you can't do that, because the unfortunate thing about that is it sends the wrong message as a leader. It's tough, man. It's tough being a leader of his caliber and being what he is to this team. But But the bottom line is this. Even if nobody says it, everybody feeds off of your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the toughest thing to do a lot of times, especially when you're not playing well, is to act like everything is okay. You know, I mean, there are certain ways that you have to handle yourself. And when your body language shows that, it brings the whole team down. You know, we know you're not playing well, and you're not going to get ridiculed. You're not going to get the same kind of ire as anybody else.
Right.
But if you share that and allow people to know that, you know, you're trying to work through that, that's a little different. I mean, it's still not acceptable. By any means is it acceptable. But I think if you're doing that, then people will be a little bit more understanding. It's still not acceptable, and people are still going to feel some kind of way. But at least we know you're trying to work through it.
Yeah, the part about his body language, this happened a little bit last year. Remember even when they were winning at a super high clip? They had the best record in baseball. Mm-hmm. They were rolling the first 2 months of the season. He still had moments last year where he was just annoyed. It looks just like, sometimes it looks like Bryce Harper when he's not hitting. And Hugh, I think this is part of your point about his demeanor. When he's not hitting, you used the word front runner earlier. When he's not performing at a super high level, he doesn't look happy. He doesn't look like he's excited to be there. And I'm sure he is. I mean, the guy loves baseball. He's been playing baseball at high levels since he was like 16. But he wears it on his face. I mean, it's like I could see why it'd be draining in that clubhouse if he's not right. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on Bryce right now? Off to a very, very slow start to the season for him. Jeff in Wilmington. Hey, Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff.
What's up, Jeff?
I'm not worried, but I'm more frustrated than anything. Look, this guy's been getting his ass kissed since he was 16 years old. And he's got that attitude like, well, you know, if I don't do well, nobody's going to say anything anyway, so I'll just go ahead and pout about it because who cares? Like, that's the attitude. He seems like he has a I don't care attitude. And if you're not going to be hitting, the one thing you can do is play good defense,
right?
Or you could hustle, because there's been many times, not as many this year as last year, that where, you know, he doesn't run a ball out or whatever, and he just gets so upset with himself, like he's immature and just doesn't care, it seems like. And I don't think he's a leader. I mean, Schwarber's a much better leader in that clubhouse than Harper is.
Well, there's no question. Jeff, that's why when James was yelling this morning about the leader thing, and I understand why James is frustrated. I love when Seltzer's fired up. To me, though, I'm with you. Schwarber's the leader. Like, Bryce is the best player. But he's not the – I've never thought – and I don't mean this even in a derogatory way. Just like matter of fact, I've never looked at Bryce as a great leader. Like maybe he needs to be a better one. But Schwarber's the leader. I mean, when he was in Washington, Worth was the leader. Papelbon was more of a leader. Zimmer – like they had a bunch of leaders that weren't Bryce Harper. I don't think he's much of a leader.
Yeah, but the unfortunate thing about Jeff and Joe with this one is I think that he's looked at as the leader. Because of,
like, by example?
By example.
He's not a vocal leader.
Yeah. He's not looked at. I don't think he's the vocal
leader.
That's
Schwarber,
But he's the leader by example. He's the one that I think that is the straw that stirs the drink.
Well,
he's
true.
The one that makes it go. And the guys
feed
off of that.
Oh, excuse me, Hugh. Let me ask you guys both this. Since Schwarber is the leader, we all know he is, do you think he'll get in Harper's grill about the way he's playing? Like, do you think that would happen?
I don't
think it would.
I don't think that's Schwarber's or Sherbert's demeanor. I really don't.
I know.
I think that he's just he's a lunch pail kind of guy. He's the guy that, you know, he goes to work, he does what's asked of him, and he goes home. You know. And guys respect that, but let's be honest, Jeff. We all follow the money. Like that's just how it goes. We follow the money. We follow the money.
Yeah, we do.
The green socks and all that.
Yeah, all of that. We follow the money.
Yeah.
Also,
go ahead.
Real quick, also, Harper's not even in the top 20 this year. He might be top 10 in the last 10 years.
Right.
But not, and to get to 500 home runs, he's got to get 30 a year for the next 5 years, and I'm not so sure that's going to happen.
Well, you're right, Jeff. We'll see. I mean, he's got 6 years left on this deal, and then, you know, and we appreciate the phone call. We know someone already said this is about his contract. If that report comes out, then I will have a Seltzer moment, and my voice might crack again. Because it better not be about his contract. I mean, he's got 6 years.
Sign Ranger to a long-term deal.
No, he's not worth a long-term deal. Well, Bryce isn't worth an extension on his deal right now. He's got six. Again, every time the contract comes up, it drives me crazy. He has 6 years left on this deal. Is anyone right now signing up to add years to Bryce Harper's contract just for the hell of it?
Don't think that's the case.
No. So I don't want to hear about that. As far as the leadership stuff, yeah, I agree with you, Hugh. I don't think that's – I think we're not there when no one is, right? There's behind closed doors type of stuff. There's in front of the camera stuff. I've always – Schwarber struck me as the kind of guy who might have that conversation in a calm way with someone, maybe a younger player who'll put his arm around you, who'll help younger players like understand how to navigate the major leagues. Is he going to get in Bryce Harper's grill? Probably not. Probably not. And I don't know what's going to get Bryce going here, but I know they need him to get going. Because I said it earlier, I'll say it again. If he plays like he has so far this season, the whole season, they'll miss the playoffs. There's not enough offense. I mean, last night, Hugh, I think you said this in our meeting before the show, the pitcher last night for the Nationals was cutting down Christmas trees at Home Depot during the offseason.
And let me say, before we get into that, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Of course
not. That's a commendable job.
Yes, yes.
But at the same time, when I'm riding home and I'm listening to that and I look at the score 4-2, man, I'm like, wow. I mean, look at God. Like, first thing I thought, look at God. This guy was out here, you know, feeding his family, making ends meet, not knowing what the future held for him.
Yep.
Now he's in a major league game. And if I'm not mistaken, got a win against a team that's touted as a World Series contender.
At one point, he retired 10 Phillies in a row.
Yes, he is, and I know nobody wants to hear that this morning, but that's just how I was thinking. I'm like, wow, look at that. This guy went out there on a young team that has a lot of young players that, you know, they're not that good. They're still trying to figure it out. He got an opportunity to come to Philadelphia with this great crowd and two runs. Mm. In a game where just last Christmas, he was stacking Christmas trees.
I know.
And I was like, and I know, again, nobody wants to hear that, but I was just like, wow, that's pretty impressive. And on the flip side, Taijuan Walker is a guy who's had a tough time here in Philadelphia. And he gives you good enough innings to win that game. Good enough innings to win that game, and you give him two runs.
It's the kind of pitcher last night, and obviously his story is fascinating that he made it from where he was this winter to. But like they should have blasted him last night. Like,
they should have.
I mean, come on, it's
it's
kind
a great
of
story, but yeah. you should have took that L, and I couldn't help. And let me tell you what else I was thinking. I couldn't help but to think that I was like, wow, Taijuan Walker is on the mound pitching his ass off.
How about that play he made in the field in the first inning?
Pitching his ass off.
An athlete.
The fact that, and I got to thinking back about how the season started and nobody believed in him and all this other stuff.
Except you.
Well, I believed in him. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to make it about me.
Well.
But these are the story. These are the storylines.
We can see through this.
That's not the case. But the thing is, and we have all these high-dollar players, these high-dollar offensive players, offensive weapons.
Yep.
Y'all just gave Buddy two runs.
Yeah, it's a joke. They need to score more. And Bryce needs to be better. 215-592-9494. Before we go any further, it is a Friday, which on the midday show means it's a Tri-Day.
It's a Tri-Day Friday.
It's Tri-Day, you and Joe on Fridays.
Yes, it is a Tri-Day. So like we always do here, with the one we pick, the best answer we get today, we'll try it. And you know what we're going to do today, Hugh?
What are we going to do?
Cocktails. You know why?
I did not know this weekend was Kentucky Derby.
It's Kentucky Derby weekend.
Did not know that. Even though it's the Kappa Derby too. The Alpha Kappa, not Alpha Kappa, Kappa Alpha Psi.
Well, you didn't even know what day it was the other day.
No, I didn't.
Well, it is Friday. Tomorrow's the Kentucky Derby. Jason Wirth, by the way, has got a horse in the Derby again. Flying Mohawk, 30-1 underdog tomorrow. But you know, Hugh, they do the mint juleps at the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah,
you ever have a mint julep?
No.
But you're a bourbon guy.
I am, but I'm not a mixed drink
guy.
Well,
today you're going to become one.
I'm not either.
I'm not usually either. But the best one we get today, if we get a really good one today, I'll try it. Why not? All right, so do you know what a mint julep is, Hugh Douglas?
I know it has mint in it.
Well, it's got. So I'm looking at a recipe here.
It's very
you
intuitive.
You got the mint leaves. Got some simple syrup.
I think it's
bourbon.
It's like a light color, like drink.
Yes. Yeah, you got the mint leaves and then the syrup and then the bourbon. All right, so the best cocktail we get today. Here's the chore for you today. Try to convince Hugh to drink this cocktail.
I like my bourbon straight.
Well, maybe we'll find one today.
He's stubborn, too. So
I like my bourbon to burn a hole in my chest when I'm drinking it. You know, you drink that.
Yeah. Well, you could put mostly bourbon and just a little bit of whatever the mix is.
But I don't like the sweet stuff, the sweetie drinks.
Well, get ready to hear them because we're doing Tri-Day on picks, drinks, cocktails. Your favorite cocktail, one you think we should try for a Try Day Friday. Sean is up on WIP talking about Bryce and the Phillies. Hey, Sean.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, Sean. What's up, buddy?
I'm doing well. Listen, I'm still with Bryce Harper. I'm confused why we're jumping off this wagon. I mean, we have so many people that are just ready to just kick him to the dirt curb. Let's move him back to the outfield. I mean, that was his first error all season. He still has better numbers than Rhys Hoskins did. It's insane.
I don't think you're understanding the conversation that we're having. Let me help you out a little bit. Nobody's trying to move Bryce. We're just frustrated by him not being the vocal leader that he needs to be when the team is playing bad. I mean, for him to be a little bit more reserved and not playing well and not really speaking up like he should, I think that's a problem for me, especially when he's on a team where he's looked at as the leader.
Yeah, but we also don't know what's going on in the clubhouse, so that's the thing.
But guess what, Sean? We don't know what's going on in the clubhouse about any of these conversations that we have on a daily basis. It never stopped us from talking about it.
Yeah, I just think we just get too wishy-washy here in Philly, and we can't like he's a superstar. He's going to come around. He's had a bad 2 weeks.
Can I ask you a question, Sean?
Go ahead.
Why? And I'm not mad at you, but I need to understand why is it that you're so willing to give him a pass, but you'll throw like Trey Turner under the bus? Why? I'm assuming you're harder on Trey Turner with the week that he's had. Why does he not get a pass, but Bryce does?
I'm a baseball real. I think Trey Turner is not as bad at shortstop as the next guy. I think everybody throws him under the bus.
Oh my God, Sean, hold on. Did you see last night when Marshawn threw the ball into center?
I was there last night. It was terrible. Yes.
But Sean, he's a major league shortstop, and the ball went under his glove. I mean, it's basically a ground ball.
I'm just trying to be optimistic.
I got it, man. It ain't nothing wrong with being optimistic. I'm just trying to understand why.
I know, Sean. I'm optimistic too. If there's a tornado warning, my house probably isn't going
to
blow over. But it's still a tornado. This guy sucks at shortstop. Yeah. Well, you're in the basement right now. Go ahead.
Yes, you care. Yes, you care.
When Donovan McNabb, prime example, I grew up, love watching you and him, but Donovan McNabb was thrown under the bus every other week. Like, what was that like being his teammate? Because you had to know he was a rock star, superstar. And then hear that we would bash him over one bad game, and then he would come out and have a 4-touchdown game. Like, it's just, I think we got to just ride out with our superstars.
But here's the thing, Sean, and I understand what you're asking. We had Donovan's back, and you're asking me from a perspective of me being in the locker room, and now I'm on this side. I'm on this side now. And I still feel the way that I feel, but I also understand why fans feel the way that they feel. And I'm also looking at it from Bryce's perspective, because Bryce kind of turtles up when things are bad. Like Bryce, when I think of Bryce and I think about him being outgoing and bombastic and all that other stuff, is when things are going well. The fact that Devin points out that when things are going bad and he's not playing well, he's short, he doesn't want to talk to the media. Guess what? Every time the media goes in the locker room, who do they want to talk to? Bryce Harper. So it sends a bad message when you're not playing well and the team is not doing well. You tend to not be around. You see what I'm saying?
No, yeah, I got you.
Because it's just not a good look. The toughest thing to do, especially when you're losing, it's to answer questions. But everybody has to do it.
Right.
Everybody has to.
Well, there's no doubt. Sean, what do you got for us? What's a cocktail we should try?
Thank you for the conversation, guys. You probably already had it, but a Moscow Mule can never go wrong with that. Have a great weekend, guys. Love
you
the
got
show.
It, Sean. Moscow Mule. Hugh, have you ever tried one?
No, that's the one with the tin cup, though, right? You got to drink that in the tin cup.
I've never had one either.
You're correct about that.
Have you had one, Kyle?
No. I don't know why I said that so emphatically.
Well, you said it like you have them all the time.
When I tell you I am not a fan of mixed drinks.
Well, today we're going to find the one you'll try.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just not, because I like all of my liquor straight. Because it's like people drink. Like,
we get it. You're a big tough guy.
Would you play football or something?
No, it's not that. It's just that, since we're here, what are we drinking for? We're drinking to get drunk.
It's a damn weekend.
I've never had a Moscow Mule. I imagine 3 or 4 Moscow Mules, you'll be drunk, man.
No, or two or three shots of tequila and a beer get you get you there a lot quicker.
But like, I enjoy the act of the drinking.
Me too.
Like if I just want to get hammered in 5 minutes, I'll do a bunch of shots. But I like to sit on a beer.
Yeah.
I don't sit on no beers or no shots. I hit those.
But do you you like the flavor of some, because you have preferences for whiskey, well, so you must like the flavor.
Well, some of them have the flavor. You know, they have like acceptable flavors,
yeah,
but
right.
for the most part, it's like I just like the burning the hole in the chest. You know, when you get there, like you like the big, warm feeling.
Tough guy Douglas. Over here. Tough guy Douglas. That's what it is.
Maybe I will. You know what? I will open my mind up today.
The best one we get today.
Some fruity drink.
Nice. Okay.
Yes, I will.
Well, we'll find out by the end of the show. All right, let's go to Bill in Princeton. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Bill. What's up?
So when I look at Bryce, I'm not worried about him. I don't know if you have recently watched this documentary that came out about Mike Schmidt and his career. It helped. I grew up watching them in the 80s, and I think, you know, clearly Bryce is bombastic, as you said. He's the showman, you know, when things are going good. But I would equate him, when he's not doing well and the team's not doing well, he just looks inside and says, what do I got to do? So I actually think it is very personal for him, and he knows that he's got to lead by example. So I'm not worried about him. I heard the report, maybe you guys heard it too, that he's working with the whole staff,
yep.
doing new drills, trying to understand speed and things like that. So I think he's such a perfectionist that when he's not doing well, yes, I would love for him to be vocal. But I think he wants his actions to be his words as opposed to just words not backing him up. So I'm not worried about him. He's going to – look, I hope he turns it around. I wish there was somebody in the locker room like a Pete Rose that would get into people's faces and break bats when they're not doing well. They're just not made up as a team. When you look up and down the lineup, they're just not like that.
They're not. And as far as like, so there's different elements of this: frustration, concern, worry. I tend to be with you, Bill. I'm not worried. I mean, he's still hitting the ball really hard. I mean, if his contact was weak, or I thought the power was gone, or I thought he just was really swinging and missing at pitches he shouldn't, then I'd feel bad. But I think he's going to break out at some point, too, and he needs to. They need his offense in a big way. Bill, what do you got for us? A mixed drink cocktail we should try.
Hugh, you got to go with the Woodford Manhattan.
Woodford Reserve.
Woodford Reserve on a big block of ice, and you got to ask for the last step, which is three cherries.
See, I like Woodford Reserve. I do like Woodford Reserve.
Get that on a Manhattan, and you'll love it.
All right, the Woodford Manhattan and the three cherries. Bill, good one. And that's a unique one. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard on this Tri-Day Friday. We need your cocktail for our Tri-Day to Kentucky Derby Bar, Mint Julep, and Jason Wirtz horse is going to be in there. I'm rooting for him tomorrow. 215-592-9494. Bryce Harper, are you concerned? He is off to a really slow start this season. Hugh's frustrated today with Bryce. Frustrated, concerned, not worried. Where do you come down on Bryce Harper? Your calls on that. Plus, more on the Phillies' upcoming decision with Ranger Suarez and Taijuan Walker. What they had to say about their positions in the starting rotation. You're going to want to hear this. They both were asked yesterday. I thought these answers were pretty interesting. Taijuan and Ranger on, would they be willing to go to the bullpen? Do they want to stay in the rotation? That's all next. Your calls, Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's talk about bacon. Not just any bacon, people. We're going to talk about Hatfield bacon. From classic hardwood smoked to sweet maple brown sugar. Even extra thick cut bacon, which is basically my favorite. They got applewood smoked bacon. Every slice is packed with flavor. You can put it on top of your burger, you can level up your breakfast, or you can snack straight from the pan. No judgment from me. So treat yourself. Grab some Hatfield bacon today and taste the difference. Head to simplyhatfield.com to find a retailer near you and put some Hatfield pork on your fork.